Good morning. At the end of this message, I'm going to ask each one of you to make a decision. It may be one of the most important decisions that you make in your life. Stay ready to keep from getting ready. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for this day. For those that are here, Lord, we just ask you to be present with us. Lord, to listen to your word. Lord, we ask that you give me strength to preach your word. We thank you for the many blessings that we have. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, this has been quite the week. It seems like when I'm going to speak, I can always tell that where it's going to hit a nerve by how tough my week is. When I was sitting in the pew, just a flood of emotion that came over me. I said to Chris, I forgot my hanky. So she opened up her purse and was digging in the infamous purse that has everything in it. She says, I don't have a hanky, but I have a mask. So we have another use for a mask. John writes to encourage the faithful to stand firm against persecution and compromise in the light of the imminent return of Christ to deliver the religious and judge the wicked. Revelations is a book of hope. Its central message is that God and good will win over evil. No matter how bad things look now, its author, the Apostle John, encourages his readers to live a committed, a holy life in order to participate in God's victorious kingdom. I'm going to read from Revelations 13, 11 through 18. Then I saw the second beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of people. Because of the signs, it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, yet by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. The number is 666. One thing that I've noticed in our country, I have not noticed preachers preaching on this passage. I'm not even sure nowadays how many people actually know about this and know about the damning of this. Revelation 13, 11 through 18 focuses on the second beast of this chapter, the last of seven major figures described in this part of Revelations. This figure is most often labeled as the false prophet. While the first beast came from the sea, this one comes from the land. The earth is often equated with Israel, leading many to believe the false prophet will ethnically be Jewish. The second beast posed as a lamb but speaks like a dragon. It's possible to identify this beast rather than the first as the Antichrist, because every reference to the Antichrist or the spirit of the Antichrist in the New Testament has religious context. And you can look at 1 John 4, 1, 3, and 6, 2 John 1, 7. Whereas the first beast is a political ruler, the second beast is a religious figure who deceives many. This passage also introduces controversial and ominous marks of the beast. God seals all who trust his Son as Savior by placing the Holy Spirit in them. This seal designates believers as belonging to God, similarly to in the end times. The evil false prophet will cause everyone, regardless of social or economic status, to choose whether to receive a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. This mark will identify with recipients as belonging to the kingdom of the beast. Revelations 14, 9 through 11 indicate that those who accept this mark are identifying themselves with Satan and rejecting God. Let me read Revelations 14, 9 through 11. And another, a third angel, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone do homage to the beast and its image, and receive a mark upon his forehead or upon his hand, he also shall drink of wine of the fury of God, prepared unmixed in the cup of his wrath, and he shall be tormented in fire and brimstone before the holy angels and before the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up to the ages of ages, and they have no respite day or night, who do homage to the beast and to its image, and if anyone receives the mark of its name." There's some pretty powerful words in those verses. Revelations 24 explains that true believers will refuse this mark. And have we thought about this? Are we true believers? And many will be executed as a result. Have we thought about this? The Greek word used for this mark of the beast is hagdegma, related to the brand seared into animals to denote their ownership, like a branding. The word is also used of idols and other negative ideas. In contrast, the followers of God are sealed from the Greek root word stragigso, sealed, referring to the proof of inscription. The symbolization of these words is powerful. God places a symbol of value on his people. Satan brands his followers like animals. This chapter exposes two evil men, beasts who serve the devil. The first beast arises from the sea. The second beast arises from the land. The first beast dominates the final form of the Roman Empire and sets himself up as a god to be worshipped. This first figure is the one most often labeled as the Antichrist. The second beast acts as prophet, priest, king of Israel. As such, he imitates Christ, but he is a false prophet. This corrupted religious leader sets up an image of the first beast in the temple and commands everyone to worship it. The false prophet executes those who refuse to worship the image. Further, he causes everyone to receive the name or the number of the first beast on the right hand or on the forehead. Without this identifying mark, no one can buy or sell. The number of the beast is 666. We look at things that are happening nowadays. It almost seems like we're getting into an era when wrong becomes right and right becomes wrong. Jesus spoke of times like this in Matthew 24. Apostle Paul wrote of these things in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Isaiah 5:20 reads, "Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And we must look at Christians. How many times are Christians only too ready to be deceived by those who, by good works and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple? That's Romans 16:18. Whether, as in ancient times, it is merely to throw a few grains of incense upon the altar of some heathen deity, or in modern times to conform to some common but unworthy requirement of society. How often have we heard, "My choice, my body"? My choice, my body has resulted in the killing of 60 million babies. Remember that. My body, my choice. As of right now, what is happening, we are having people call out for people to be charged in this country with a felony crime if they are not vaccinated. What happened to my body, my choice? Just think about that for a little bit. It all depends on what narrative we're going after, right? I was shocked when this was in a Israeli newspaper. "The government won't make you take it, but the airlines, Amazon, and the banks will. You won't be able to buy or sell without it." Where does that come from? Where is this coming from? Or maybe you won't be able to have a job if you don't take it. I was just told that a person that I know very well that works for a big pharmaceutical company that is making the vaccine was told, you take the vaccination or you don't have a job. My body, my choice, huh? We've used it, we've prayed it up and down the streets with signs for how many years now? Why is it so hard to find information on just the regular flu? But yet every day in the last year and a half, we've had the numbers posted on our televisions, just plastered all over it. We've been bombarded with the cases and the deaths. Why is that? Is this partly to control people with fear? I don't know. You people have to ask yourselves these questions. They're coming out now with a talk about a vaccine passport. Anybody have heard of anything like that? Vaccine passport? So, does anybody know what a vaccine passport is? It is a digital form of proof. In this digital vaccine passport, they will be able to put everything about you in there and they will be able to change it. Remember these things, people. Remember what is going on in this country as we sit here. I never believed that in a matter of a year and a half, we could move so fast to something that I was fearful of when I was a young boy, when I heard my father preach about the 666. This is moving so fast. And I don't want to say that I am against vaccines. No. I am against what is happening in this country right now. And you need to be aware of it. You need to study it yourself so you know the answer about it. Don't take it from what I'm saying today. You all need to study it. You need to look up and find out what is really going on. We are beginning to live in a fear-based society. They say, trust the science. Follow the science. Hasn't the Bible been proving science wrong for quite a while? I mean, wasn't there the Big Bang Theory, and wasn't there, you know, where we came from? We must look at the Word of God. If you get a chance, please listen to Jan Markell. On May 14th, she had a lady on there talking about, and this lady is in the data and the large tech, and she was talking about this vaccine passport. Please go there, listen to that. Very, very good information. There's another one that is coming out. It's called the Real ID. They're talking about getting this Real ID so you can fly. Check it out. You can still fly, use your passport. Don't let them tell you that you cannot fly without having the real ID. The real ID. Use your passport. Check it out. And like I said, I am not anti-vaccine. I'm against those that are not telling the truth. Get informed, then make a choice. I challenge you all to check out. Do not just believe what you are told. Remember, how is it that no matter what we do nowadays, we have a liability in what we do? We carry insurance, right? Because we have this liability. Do you know that these drug companies that made this vaccine have zero liability with it? This is something that they threw out here in 8 months. They put it together. I mentioned this one time when I spoke. I had mentioned in my talk about the mark of the beast. And after the service, a lady came up and said, "I have forgot all about this." She says, "I don't think I have even told our children about it." They need to be told. As I was thinking about what I was going to speak on today, this just kept coming to me, And it's like, you know, I have not heard very much preaching about this subject, as important as it is, and I don't know why. As a young boy, we were told about the mark of the beast. It was scary. I remember as a young boy being scared about that and really wondering if there's that many scary things in the Bible, if I really wanted to be following that, because that was pretty scary stuff. But I challenge you, do you know about it? Do your children know? Do your grandchildren know? Do your friends know? We need to be very careful how we as Christians conform to the requirements of society. We need to always search for the truth in the Word of God. We are living in the times when the truth is very distorted by society. We are living in a time that the truth is spun many different ways. I was talking to a gal, about a month ago, when I first got back, and she says, "I got my vaccination." I said, "Okay." She said, "Did you get yours?" I said, "No." So then we had a discussion about different things, and I explained that I was not against vaccination, but I did explain about what I see happening, and we need to be vigilant. We need to be open-minded. We need to understand what is happening. After we got done talking, she says, "I wish I'd have known some of these things ahead of time." Where are we heading with this? I was looking at some stuff from the CDC of questions. If I have already had COVID-19 recovered, do I still need to get vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccination? Yes. You should be vaccinated regardless of whether you already had COVID-19. Why? So, is this another way that man is putting himself above God? That man can make a vaccination that is so good, but God has made these wonderful bodies of ours And our immunities that we build need to be trumped by the vaccination. I don't know. I challenge you people to look for the answers. Another one, how long does protection from COVID-19 vaccination last? We don't know how long protection lasts for those who are vaccinated. I challenge you, check these things out. But we are fortunate. We have a Savior. We don't need to be afraid. We do not have to be scared of the assurances that we have from Jesus Christ himself, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul says, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves." There's a problem we have as Christians today, is that are we alive spiritually, or are we just barely alive spiritually? Sometimes I think that the Christians can barely fog the spiritual mirror. You know, sometimes if you have a mirror and you think somebody's passed away, it's a good way to check. More than one has been pronounced dead, only to stir slightly. To give an indication that we are alive. If we are going to effectively resist the spirit of the age, we are going to be successful as ambassadors for Christ. It will be because we know we have eternal life, and the life we live here will be lived abundantly for the kingdom of God. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. Truly, I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. John 5:24. Truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. John 6:47. And for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. These are promises, people. These are promises that you can stand on. Life is full of letdowns and empty promises, but eternal life with Jesus won't be one of them. How do we know that Jesus knows what he's talking about? Because he hung on the cross for you and I. Keep your faith strong. Stay ready to keep from getting ready. When the world pressures you, don't run from your faith. Run to it. I believe this pandemic that we've been going through is a test. How did we do? How did you do? Did we live in fear? Or did we trust in the Lord? If there's one thing that I would like you to take away from this, we are in the last days. There is no doubt about it. How are you going to react to these tests? May you ask God's guidance in these challenges. When you are told you will lose your job, how are you going to react? When you are told you will not be able to fly, how will you react? It will get worse. Oh, yes, it will. This, I believe, is just a precursor to what we have coming. This was a test. Are you passing the test, or do you need to get in God's Word? Do not let this opportunity go by. Will you fully trust Christ to lead you to the right answers? I have a little something I wanted to read that Chuck Swindoll put together. And this was evidently from when he was young and he went to work. He says, I worked in a machine shop for 4.5 years alongside a fellow named George. His job was to sweep and clean out the shavings underneath the huge lathes and machines that were running. George was born again, and he loved the teaching of Scripture on prophecy. I remember hearing him sing hymns as he worked. Many of them had to do with coming of Christ, such as In the Sweet By and By, and When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. Late one Friday afternoon, about 10 minutes to quitting time, when we were all weary, I looked at George and I said, George, are you ready? He said, uh-huh. But he was all dirty. He was just obviously not ready. In fact, he looked like he was ready to keep on working. I said, aren't you ready to go home? He said, yep, I'm ready. I said, look at you, man. You're not ready. You got to go clean up. No, he said. Let me show you something. So he unzipped his coveralls, and underneath were the neatest, cleanest clothes you can imagine. He had them all ready. All he did when the whistle blew was unzip, step out of the coveralls, walk up, punch the clock, and he was gone. He said, see you. I stay ready to keep from getting ready, just like I am ready for Jesus. Stay ready to keep from getting ready. In the beginning of my message, I said I was going to ask each of you to make a decision. And that decision is to not just follow the crowd, but to stand up for Jesus. Do you know your research about what's going on in this country and the world? Today, before you leave this church, will you make that decision? That decision to follow Christ, to not follow the crowd, but to look and examine what is happening in our country. May you, by God's grace, that He give you the wisdom to discern what is going on and what is happening. Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank you. Lord, we thank you that you have the Word that we can stand on, that you have the Word that we can go to. Lord, we just pray for wisdom. Wisdom for each one that is here today with us. Lord, that they will go out, talk to their children, talk to their grandchildren, talk to their friends and neighbors. Lord, It says that the path is narrow, but the path is wide to destruction. Lord, help us to stay on the narrow path. In Jesus' name, amen.